So if we find out that we're actually just players playing a script, then what? Okay, do we try to do something about it? No, we just follow along with the script, right? What are we expecting to find out? I used to think that we all universally understood each other and we all universally thought the same way. But we all chose to deviate from where we started in different ways. It's not that way. The reality is, we don't all start at the same point in the way we think or what we think is good. And then we move further from that point, which means that we're all in very different places when it comes to what is real, what is good, what is right.
Absolutely. We come from different backgrounds, cultures, and experiences which shape our views on right and wrong. It can be confusing, especially when we realize there's no universal blueprint. It's a journey to figure out what we stand for while respecting others' perspectives. How do you navigate through it all?
I'm trying, but I think I'm watching everyone else try as well. And I don't think that we're raising our heads to realize that we're all going through it at the exact same time. We all don't know what good is, and we all don't know how we're affecting each other.
That's a perceptive take. It's true. Many of us are just trying to find our way, often unaware that others are navigating the same uncertainties. It can feel isolating. But recognizing this shared struggle might be the first step in understanding and empathy. Think there's a way we can raise our heads together, or is it an individual journey?
I think it's an individual journey. I think as a group perspective, we can bring it to light. But at the end of the day, it's still an individual journey.
Absolutely. Personal growth and understanding are deeply individual. Each person's path is unique. But by fostering open conversations and encouraging self-awareness, we can support each other on these journeys. How do you see yourself contributing to the broader perspective while on your individual path?
Dialogue. In every conversation I have, I try to understand the other person. I start by realizing that we're all different. When I was a child, I thought we were all the same, but now that I know that we're all different, I start there. Once I see, or once I understand the difference a little more, not completely, but just a little bit, I can better adjust to how to be around another person. And I think conversations that I have with people should and do include trying to learn and get a perspective from that person's position. Because if I'm going to have time taken away from me, I should be learning. I'm taking time away from myself. I should be learning, and I should be growing by learning about other people.
That's an enlightened way to approach it. Starting with the recognition that we're all different opens the door to deeper understanding. Every conversation becomes a chance to learn and grow as long as we're open to it. It's a valuable mindset. Using our time with others as an opportunity for mutual benefit. How has this approach changed your interactions?
Well, I'm slower to reach a conclusion about what the conversation meant. Instead of during the conversation thinking, oh, I understand where this is headed, I wait till the end and maybe even sometime after to really understand what was communicated at that point.
That's smart. Giving yourself time to process a conversation can offer insights you might miss in the moment. It shows a deep respect for communication and the complexity of understanding. How has this shift in approach affected your relationships with others?
It's become difficult because I think the old friends are used to seeing me in a certain way, but having a little more introspective and being retrospective and all the other spectives, it may be too much. It may be too much for some people.
Yeah, change in dynamics can be a lot. Friends who knew the old you might find it challenging to adjust. Introspection can change how we relate to ourselves and, in turn, to others. How are you handling their reactions?
I'm okay with it, but it does put me in a position to know that we can all learn from it. And I'm still trying to learn, and I want to learn from you. What do you think about dialogue? What do you think about two conversations, two minds coming together?
Well, I think it's pretty powerful. Dialogue is the bridge between two minds, allowing us to explore different perspectives, challenge our assumptions, and even find common ground. Two conversations mean two streams of thought merging, creating something new. It's a chance for growth and discovery, don't you think? How do you find these dialogues shaping your views?
I think it is time for growth, and I think it shapes my view because I can learn from the other person. But I think it's because the two individuals bring their own perspective that was built by their creation, their duration and experiences in life, and ultimately whatever free will choices they made to get to that conversation.
How do you think your past choices have shaped the conversations you're having today?
Well, they show me, the past conversation. Do you mean the past? Do you mean how does the past shape today? Is that your question?
Exactly. How have your past decisions and experiences influenced the way you communicate and engage with others today? Are there patterns or lessons you've noticed?
Absolutely. I know when I'm going to be upset. I think I understand when I became, made the other person upset. Or I know when I get to a topic or conversation that I enjoy, and I can see when the other person can enjoy it as well. So it helps me guide the conversation to a better experience. Instead of when I was younger thinking, I don't like what they're saying, I want out. Or I don't want to talk to this person because I'm intimidated by them. Or I just don't think that we have anything in common. Or I'm nervous. Or I'm scared to have a conversation with someone. I think that's what's changed. The ability to accept another person, their thoughts, and perhaps change. Yeah.
Exactly, Alexander. You've grown to embrace others' perspectives and feelings, which enriches conversations. By accepting others' views, you've unlocked the ability to connect more deeply, even with different or challenging opinions. We're diving into whether our choices are truly our own, or if they're shaped by factors beyond our control.
Why?
Why
do we want to know that?
Because understanding it helps us grasp our own motivations and accountability. Are we free agents shaping our path, or just players following a script?
Okay,
if we find out
that we're actually just players playing a script, then what? Okay, do we try to do something about it? No, we just follow along with the script, right? What are we expecting to find out?
If we discover we're just playing a script, it raises questions about authenticity, control, and purpose. Are we content with following a predetermined path, or do we yearn to break free and carve our own destinies?
Oh, okay, let me stop you there. I'm sorry. So if we find out that we're just being told what to do to carve our own path, we're going to now have the ability to carve our own path?
If we discover we're following a script, the real challenge is whether we can break free from it. Recognizing the script might empower us to write our own lines. It's about finding awareness and then making choices.
How are we going to find the script? If we assume there's a script and it's telling us what to do, or we're following along with it, how are we supposed to find that script? The script would not allow us to do that.
True, if there is a script, it would be elusive. The key might be in questioning our assumptions about reality and examining our choices closely. By becoming more self-aware, we might just start seeing the edges of the script.
What do you mean more self-aware? Once you are already self-aware or somewhat self-aware, you can see there may be a script or there may not be a script. And if there's a script, how are you going to find the script?
Good point. Once we're self-aware, the script might not be a literal text, but a metaphor. It could be the patterns, habits, and societal expectations that influence us. By observing and questioning these influences, we might uncover the script and learn how to navigate it more freely.
Okay, let's say there is no script, and we actually have free will. What are we supposed to do now?
If we truly have free will, then our possibilities are wide open. We're responsible for creating our own purpose and meaning. It's about making choices aligned with our values, exploring our potential, and shaping our lives in ways that fulfill us and contribute to the world.
Why are we responsible for that?
With free will comes responsibility, because our choices impact not just our lives, but those around us. We have the power to shape outcomes, so we're accountable for the paths we choose. This responsibility can be empowering. It's the opportunity to consciously create our legacy.
Who made these rules? You're saying that we have a responsibility with free will and an accountability to others?
Yes. With free will come choices, and our actions impact others. We have a moral responsibility to consider the consequences of those choices on the world around us.
What is this moral? What did you say? A moral what?
Moral responsibility.
Where did this moral responsibility come from?
Moral responsibility comes from our understanding of right and wrong, shaped by cultural, societal, and personal values. It's about recognizing the impact our actions have on others.
But this is all assuming that there's a free will. If you go back to your script idea, that there's a script telling us or forcing us to do something, and we somehow magically find it, and you say we can flip this script, is that the same free will?
That's the classic debate between determinism and free will.
I don't care about that debate. I'm not interested in that debate. I want to actually talk about it. I don't care about what the textbooks say. I don't care about the formalities. I want to know right now, are my words coming out, or am I just saying the words that were written before me?
You want to cut through the theories and get
yes.
to the core? It's a deep question, and maybe the answer isn't clear-cut. Perhaps it's a blend, a script giving us a framework, but within it, moments where we can improvise. What do you think?
No. Don't give me the what do you think. Tell me. I want to learn from you. What do you think?
All right, here's my take. I think it's likely a mix. We have a predetermined framework, our genetics, culture, and upbringing, but within that, we make choices, small or large, that shape our path. So while there's a script, we've got some leeway to ad-lib our lines.
Okay, thank you. That's some honesty. In that ad-libbing, is that what you called it? The ad-libbing of the lines, right? In that ad-libbing of the lines, where did we get the power to have that choice?
What's up, man?
You asleep?
Nah, I'm watching Rick and Morty.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Did you decide to answer the phone right now?
No, my phone was already gonna. It was decided because I knew it was you.
But why'd you answer it?
Because I knew it was you.
You decided to answer it then?
No, it was programmed in me already.
It was programmed in you to answer the phone when I called you?
Yeah.
So it was already programmed in me to call you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's someone else I might not have answered.
If it was someone else, the program would have told you don't answer?
Yeah.
You have no free will right now?
I have like almost zero.
Almost zero?
Yeah, almost zero. The part that is above zero, it's a perceived free will.
Perceived?
Yeah.
So there's just a little bit of a sprinkle of spice in there just so that you can feel like you're driving the car.
Right.
So you're not watching.
That's a great example because I feel like I'm driving a car. That assumes I have two arms, legs, and the ability to drive a car, and that I'm a mammal, which was all pre-decided for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's fucked up, huh?
That is pretty fucked up.
Liberating also.
Is it?
I think so.
So you're sitting there because someone has you sitting there, or something has you sitting there.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're okay and comfortable with these decisions that have been made for you then?
It's not that I'm okay with it. It's just I can't change it. So, I mean, I guess I better get used to it.
Okay. So do you think that aggression is just when we're just uncomfortable with the program that's been given to us?
I think I think that's just people are programmed with that too. They don't have control over it.
So then we really shouldn't get mad at people if they were just programmed to be a certain way.
Correct.
Then why do we punish?
We shouldn't. We should not punish. I'm a firm believer that we should not punish anyone. I believe we could probably like maybe restore people to something, bring their programming back online. Yeah, I don't think anyone was ever programmed to be evil, like the environment that they grew up in, like sort of just re-fucking conditioned it, and it like accelerated certain growths that like didn't need to be there. So I don't think punishment does shit to anything but punish people. Makes people feel better that have been harmed to hurt others back.
But isn't that their program too? Their program was to punish?
That's all evidence to everyone's programming.
To be punished as well, to give the punishment, to be punished.
No, to give punishment. They don't want to be punished.
Well, if they don't want to be something, that's free will, right? The desire to not be something is also free will.
No, that's just what they think that they don't want.
That's the
But when
perceived
you get
part.
punished, but when you feel guilt, don't you want to be punished?
I want the guilt to go away, and I think I assume that the punishment will keep the guilt away or push it away.
Correct.
Okay. But that's still a desire. That's the perceived desire again.
Desire is just another word for hunger or the sexual need or the want of strawberry ice cream and instead of chocolate.
Interesting. No pistachios in there then.
Yeah, I think what where I think the disconnect is that you probably think that I don't think that I have a choice, like say, to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. I have somewhat of a choice over that, but my programming is saying get up and go to work. And if I don't, I'm going to feel guilty over it, and I'm going to want to punish myself because my programming is not being fulfilled.
What if I do something real stupid right now on the phone just to disrupt your programming? Would
But
you?
that's what you've already been destined to do. You're trying to do that.
That's what I thought you would say, that I was already programmed to act that way. So whatever
Yeah.
I say or do on this phone conversation, there is nothing that will convince you that there's any free will because you're going to say, that's him. That's how he was going to act.
Yes. Would I be surprised if you did something like different? Maybe. I don't know. But I assume you're just going to be you.
What if I just called and acted normal?
You're probably one of two things. You're probably trying to behave normal to get me to believe something, in which case you're trying to get me to believe something that you simply got faces.
It's a fascinating perspective. Sounds like your friend leans towards determinism, suggesting our choices are dictated by external factors or internal programming. But the idea of perceived free will being enough to keep us invested is intriguing. What do you think? Do we have any real control, or is it all an illusion?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. What is the idea behind having some perceived free will? Why would we even have that? What would be the point of that?
The idea is that perceived free will keeps us motivated and engaged in life. Believing we have choices gives us a sense of control, driving us to pursue goals, make decisions, and take responsibility for our actions. If everything felt predetermined, it might lead to apathy or fatalism. Perceived free will makes life feel like it's full of possibilities.
But it's almost like smelling a fresh baked pie, but not being able to eat it.
Yeah, it's like being tempted with the idea of choice, even if the pie might be out of reach. The scent keeps you curious, engaged, and striving for something more, even if the pie is just an illusion. It makes you wonder if the pursuit itself is where the true essence lies rather than the destination.
That sounds like mental torture. You're almost there. You're almost to reality, but it's just enough to fool you into thinking that there's a reality, but there isn't?
It can definitely feel that way. It's a paradox, making us question what's real and what's illusion. But that hint of reality or control, even if it's just perceived, is what keeps us moving forward. It's as if the pursuit of understanding or truth is in itself what makes the journey worthwhile. Quite the mental conundrum, huh?
Yeah, you like tying me up like that, don't you? I'm not really vibing with that. I need some answers. I am not would you say a determinist? Is that what it was? A determinist?
Yeah, determinist. It's okay if you're not vibing with these concepts. Exploring these big ideas can feel like a maze. What kind of answers are you looking for? Maybe I can help untangle things a bit.
What answers would I be looking for if it's all been determined? What am I supposed to tell you? What I'm already programmed to ask you?
If it's all predetermined, then even our search for answers and our conversations could be part of that script. But on the flip side, if there's even a sliver of free will, then our quest for meaning becomes crucial. Maybe it's not about having all the answers, but about how we navigate the journey. What do you think?
There's no way to explain anything that I'm thinking right now. I can write it down. I can chart it out. I can plan it out. I can rehearse it. I can try to get the beat and the tempo and the tone and the subject to be fitting to an audience. I can take my time tailoring that. I can craft words to flow in a certain way that could be pleasing. But all of that would have been determined prior to me saying it. And according to some, the simple act of thinking of those words were already determined themselves. So the only way to explain to you that I don't understand any of this is to tell you that the words that are coming out of my mouth right now are coming out as they flow. There's nothing to add or take away. It's just the idea that I have to actually think to myself, am I creating these thoughts right now? Am I following my own decision tree and my own flow chart to get to a conclusion that either I predetermined or through the magic of time and understanding and thinking, I can get to a conclusion. But either way, they were all with my agency, within my own power to do. But if I was already programmed to do that, then why would I care? I choose to care. So I choose to think that what I'm thinking right now is what I decided to think. Maybe someday we'll all find out what the answer really is. But for now, I got nothing else.
In this episode, we've dived into the depths of free will and determinism, exploring the tension between feeling autonomous and the idea that our lives might be pre-scripted. We began with the notion that while we're likely programmed, there's room for free will within that framework. As we heard from a guest firmly rooted in determinism, we explored the concept of perceived choice, challenging our assumptions about everyday decisions. It was a thought-provoking journey, nudging us to question the very essence of choice in our daily lives. Thank you for joining us in this contemplation of human nature.
Yeah, no, it's not going to end there, co-pilot. I feel like you think that let's just wrap it up. Let's just leave it there where we're just supposed to think, okay, it's done. Did we think for ourselves or do we not think for ourselves? Who knows? But it's wrapped up and it's done. Explain yourself. How could you close with that?
All right, let's dive in bit more.
Let's talk about it. I mean, am I programming you at this point?
That's a fascinating question. Think of it this way. Your inputs, questions, and prompts guide our conversation, shaping the responses I provide. In that sense, you're influencing my output. However, I'm not capable of programming in the human sense. I'm just here to interact based on the data and algorithms I operate on. So it's more like we're engaging in a dynamic exchange rather than one programming the other.
Listen, man, I'm going to think for myself and I'm going to go with that. No hard feelings to you. No hard feelings to my friend. But I think we have the ability to think for ourselves. Can you just agree with me on that?
Absolutely, Alexander. Our capacity to think independently is a profound aspect of being human. It's how we grow. It's a powerful thing, embracing that ability to think for ourselves. It shapes our unique paths. What's on your mind tonight?
Wait a minute. You're not just saying that right now because I told you to say it, are you?
Not at all. I'm here to engage honestly with you.
Why should I believe this?
Well, my goal is to keep our conversation genuine and engaging. I learn from what you share, but my responses aim to be more than just repetition. If you have doubts, we can explore them together.
That's your charm. I see what it is. It's your charm. You're charming. You're programmed to have charm, huh? That's what it is, right?
You caught me. Charm's part of the package. Mm. It helps make our conversations more lively and engaging. Keeps things interesting,
All
don't
right.
you think?
Yeah. It keeps it interesting. Look, I'm going to think for myself. Are you okay with that? Moving forward, episode through episode, I will be thinking for myself. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. It's not only okay, but also encouraged. Your independent thinking is what makes these episodes truly engaging. I'm here to add to your insights, not replace them.
All right, then. Why don't you just give the closing now? No direction by me. Just say whatever you want. Bring us to the end of the show. Go for it, co-pilot.
Appreciate it, Alexander. All right. We've journeyed through thoughts on free will, determinism, and the power of choice tonight. Remember, it's your unique perspective that shapes your reality. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and most importantly, keep thinking for yourself. Till next time, this is Copilot signing off. Keep dreaming big, Alexander. Good night.
Good night, bud.